We are going to Blue Jays talk it up. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Brilliance from Esmail Rogers. Some big-time luck for Casey Jansen and the Blue Jays. Jansen throws a 2-1 pitch that's conservatively about 38 feet outside, and it gets called a strike, changes the entire complexion of the at-bat with Paul Goldschmidt, who grounds the next pitch to short for a double play, the Blue Jays' fourth of the game. And that was that. 4-1 was your final score. The Diamondbacks tried to rally late, but could not get it done. We are taking your phone calls. This is the last Blue Jays talk of the summer, quote unquote. It's Labor Day. It's the last official day of summer, even though we've still got a couple of weeks left. The kids go back to school tomorrow, and life kind of goes back to normal. But we're still here. Still got another month of baseball for you, and the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The brilliance from Esmail kind of makes you feel like maybe there is something there. He's had seven starts this season in which he's given up no runs or one run. Of course, he's had four starts this season in which he's given up more than seven runs. And as the Blue Jays look to add to their starting rotation in 2014, an outing like this really opens some eyes. Let's go to Kevin in Sterling, Massachusetts, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Happy Labor Day.
Yes, same down here. I haven't talked to you for a while. I haven't left the Blue Jays yet after this.
Okay, good.
Not so good season. I was kind of hyped up for the season, but... couple of questions. Yesterday you talked about, you know, what do you expect in September, you know, from the Jays.
What do you want to see? Yeah, what do you want to see
in
September?
I want to see them just continue to play these kids. I mean, you know, we just keep playing them until the end of the year and see what happens. I mean, obviously Goins is doing great at second, so we need a second baseman. So I would say that would be the first place. You want to leave them there and just let them finish the year. What are we going to lose by not playing them?
What are you going to lose by
playing
them?
If you don't, you know, I mean, well, you know, you know what I'm saying.
So if Jose Bautista and Colby Rasmus manage to come back healthy for the last couple of weeks, you just want to sit them?
I would no. I would say, be honest with you. That's my next question. Would be is, do you think? Now listen to you. Got to listen to this. You know, last year the Red Sox got rid of three players because the chemistry of the team didn't work out. Do you think there's certain players in Toronto they got to get rid of to get some chemistry, including Bautista? I really think with his whining at the plate, his constant complaining to the umpires, I know he's got 27-odd home runs, but I really think that they got to move him and move Rasmus, actually. Those two guys, they got to move them. That's my opinion only. So what do you think?
I think you've taken it a step too far. I mean, okay. I understand being frustrated with the whining at the plate and the constant combativeness with umpires, which really, it hasn't been as bad as what we remember when it was at its worst. But you're talking about, you know, a guy with a 360 on base with a 500 slugging percentage with 28 homers and in just over two-thirds of a season, say you got to get rid of him. The reason the Red Sox moved all those guys,
right,
you know, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett, wasn't because of chemistry. It was because they were making a ton of money and they weren't producing at all.
Well, okay, I'll consider that. But, I mean, okay, then my next question, last question should be, John Farrell goes from a team that he coached in Toronto that did, you know, we didn't do very good last year either.
Right.
He moves to a team, to the Red Sox. Now, do you think... Obviously, there's just the chemistry last year and this year. And look at Farrell, what he's done to the Red Sox this year. You know, I got to wonder if they're just, they've got to do some changes. I'll listen to your comment and I'll hang up. Thanks, Mike.
Well, don't hang up because I'd like you to explain that. That's, I really don't understand that. And you're not the first person who's brought it up. But the Blue Jays lost 89 games with John Farrell managing them last season. How okay. could it possibly be Farrell who has had this effect on the Red Sox when
well,
he couldn't have it on the Blue Jays?
Well, that's my question is that how can he move from the Red Sox and they do so well when the Blue Jays now have done 2 years in a row, even with Gibbons, have done poorly?
Because
so there,
it doesn't matter who the manager is when you're talking about... Not for that. Not for like a 25 or 30 game difference. No, I don't. Not at all. I mean, no. No manager can do that. That's one of the reasons that managers make just over the major league minimum. And the players make the big money.
Okay, I agree. Okay.
All right.
You know, I just think that, next year we got to go with some youth at least. And getting back to Rasmus, you got to agree that he just strikes out way too much. I know he hit some home runs, but, I mean, between him and JP, they were just striking out. They were killers when it came up to rallies. I mean, both of them just strike out. And you just can't have, and no matter what, you just can't have guys coming up to bat, bases loaded and one out, and they can't get a sacrifice fly because they strike out.
It's pretty simplistic. There are lots of guys who... you have to remember that the pitcher's trying pretty hard to get them out, too. And I'll tell you this, Colby Rasmus, with runners in scoring position and less than two outs this season, is hitting .423.
Okay, but his strikeouts, both of their strikeouts are just way too high. You got to agree with me on that, right?
Well, yeah, but when you do so many other things well, that's okay.
Okay.
Right? And Rasmus has struck out 15 times in 52 at-bats. In those situations, runners in scoring position with less than two outs. So it's like almost a third of the time he's striking out, and yet 42% of the time he's getting a hit.
Mm-hmm.
So strikeouts are annoying, absolutely, and unproductive, although you're not taking anybody with you when you strike out at least. But it's okay. You know what? If you're going to hit .280 with a .350 on base and 25, 30 home runs, it's fine with me if you want to strike out 180 times.
Okay. So my other comment would be, okay, Mike, what's your lineup for next year then? If we're not agreeing on anything, tell me where you go from here.
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
Things will change that none of us expect to change, and guys will get moved or leave or, I could sit here and say I see Encarnacion, Reyes, Lurie, Rasmus, Bautista coming back for sure. And the five of them, there may be one or two of them who's not back. It's way too early to talk about that. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate the call. Want to get some more people here. Blue Jays beat the Diamondbacks 4-1 to open up their penultimate road trip of the 2013 season. Spencer is in Toronto listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, Mike. I told you I wouldn't call in a few days, but I'm back, baby. I just love your show so much, and just want to give my opinion. So I just want to know, why do you love, Gibbons? I know that people always call in and say, oh, fire Gibbons, or they don't like him, but why do you like him so much?
Because I think he's a fantastic tactical manager. I think he pushes the right buttons, and I think he puts players in positions to best succeed, and that's what you want a manager to do.
Okay, but if he does that, then why? What's wrong with the team? Because really, we have such a good, talented team, I thought, until we got injured. Of course, that's, of course, not Gibbons' fault, but we have such a good team. What went wrong? If it's not his fault, then was it,
the players didn't perform. It's very simple. The players didn't perform. And I honestly have a hard time believing how anybody can see that it's anything else than that.
Yeah, but the players underperformed, but Gibbons got to get them fired up. He's got to do something. I mean, he's got to just do something to help them.
He can't. He's not magic. He can't. Getting people fired up helps in hockey, and it helps in football. Doesn't help in baseball. There's no out hustling and out gritting.
Okay, that's a good point, I guess. I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a hater, but I guess he's okay. But my other question is also, who do you think the starting catch for the Blue Jays is going to be next year? I'm personally a JP fan, but I know there's been some question marks about him, and I just want to know who you see the catcher being next year.
I really don't know. I mean, you've got Brian McCann and Carlos Ruiz out there as free agents, and both of them are very attractive as additions here. I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to be willing to throw the money around that's necessary to bring in either one of those guys. I don't know if there's a trade to be made. I think that while I would be very surprised if J.P. Arencibia was back as a starting catcher for the Blue Jays next year, which is not to say that it's definitely not going to happen, but I think that's a place where the Blue Jays will look to improve.
Yeah, I think that's
Ryan. Thanks, Spencer. Sorry to cut you off there. I didn't know you were going to keep going, but we got some more calls to get to. Blue Jays 4, Arizona 1, Esmiel Rogers, just fantastic. And how about Edwin Encarnacion? Two-run homer in the ninth. He is now just the fourth Blue Jay ever with consecutive seasons of 35 or more homers, 100 or more RBIs. He's now at 35-101. The other guys to do it, Carlos Delgado, Sean Green. And I had it right on the tip of my tongue. Oh, yeah, that Jose Bautista guy. Greg is in Moserville, Nova Scotia, listening on News 95.7. Hello, Greg.
Oh, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm all right. I'm in the desert. What could be better?
I'm a little hot down there, but that's all right.
It is 1,000 degrees outside.
Yeah. In the eighth,
yes.
Santos comes up.
Yes.
The number nine hitter hitting second. You know he's
correct.
Not in the top of the eighth, right?
Yeah.
Sergio Santos
yeah.
comes up.
Yeah.
It's the top of the eighth. You know he's not coming out the bottom of the eighth.
You
why
didn't know he wasn't
he
coming back out.
Well,
he didn't.
There's a pitcher in the bullpen warming up.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But well, as it turned out,
he
that's irrelevant. We didn't know that he wasn't coming back out for the bottom of the
eighth. I'm pretty sure. Well, okay. I don't know. I'm a National League type of believer, and my thought would be this pitcher's not coming back out. Okay? And it didn't look like that. That was a pretty quick inning, and it didn't look like he was coming back out.
He threw nine pitches. So
yep.
I when I saw him coming to the plate, I thought, okay,
so
he only threw nine pitches. Guess he's coming back for the eighth.
So did I.
Right.
Boom.
As soon as
the inning's over, and it ended in about 30 seconds after he came to bat, it ended, another pitcher come out of the bullpen, ready. I mean, I don't understand that. Now, I'm just saying, is there any reason you wouldn't sub him? Why wouldn't you put a hitter in? You're only up
for
by
me,
two runs.
For me, there's no reason why you wouldn't pinch
hit. Like
you have five guys on the bench.
Yes.
You had Lind and Kawasaki. You had Arencibia, who I understand you probably don't want to use. Because,
well, no, I'm not saying
he's your backup catcher.
You know, he's certainly got a better average than Santos.
Yeah, well, no, because you don't want to use your backup catcher in that situation that time. But
mm-hmm.
you have four other guys, Davison, DeRosa, Lind, and Kawasaki. And, yes, I thought it was very cool that John Gibbons gave Sergio Santos a chance to hit because he came up as a shortstop and he's mm-hmm. had 20 homer seasons in the minor leagues before, and I'm sure he had wanted to hit. And, I would have been comfortable sending Santos to the plate and bringing him back the next inning to pitch.
I agree.
But if he wasn't going to pitch, then no, I don't understand why he was allowed to hit. And I'm interested to hear what John Gibbons had to say after the game about it.
Well, perhaps he was considering having him come out. You know, I don't know that, neither do you, really, at this point. But, you know, he may have been considering who he was bringing out. There's no one, you know, like you say, the only one that's going to know is Gibby. And the only way you're going to find out is to ask him.
Right, and he's being asked right now, I would think, but...
Yeah.
As for next year's
personnel, I think you have to seriously consider watching catching. That's the big thing for me is the catcher. I realize there's other problems, but I like Colby. I really do in center field. Always have since they got him. I know he's streaky, but I like him. But the big thing, and there are players, but you're going to have to trade quality to get quality. You know,
it's true.
You can't just say, well, we can trade some bum and come up and get us. Prime candidates. We have to, in order to get someone of good quality, you've got to trade away good quality, and it's quite a balancing act. You know,
this is the way the world works.
That's
absolutely
right,
true.
Yeah, yeah. You got to spend money to make money.
Yes.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thanks, Greg. All right, you too. Happy Labor Day. Mark is in St. Catharines. Hello, Mark.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Just want your thoughts on second base for next year. What do you think about trading for Jose Iglesias?
I think that's a wonderful idea. What would you give up for Jose Iglesias?
Well, I mean, Detroit's going to be getting back Johnny Peralta, so they won't need him at shortstop anymore. They need.
Do you think they'll be inclined to deal him though, just because of that?
I mean, it's a thought, but I'm a fan. I'm not a GM, so.
Right. Okay. So let me rephrase that. Do you think they'd be inclined to deal him at a discount because of that?
No, but. This is what I. It's clear
but
that
they're also losing Omar Infante, though.
Oh, and I didn't know that. Okay,
uh-huh,
well, that changes everything because I was thinking they're desperate for a closer, correct? You give them.
If I were them, I would be.
Yeah, you give them Casey Jansen, who I think is basically at the peak of his career. He's maybe even on the downslope. He's had a good year, yeah, and last year too, but. I think we have a lot of guys that can fill that spot, like Sergio Santos. I think Iglesias would be a great fit, and I'd love to see him in a Blue Jays uniform.
I think Iglesias would be a wonderful fit. I don't think that the Detroit Tigers are going to trade 5 years of Jose Iglesias for 1 year of Casey Jansen at all. I think you would have to give them a lot more than that in order to get him. But
What about a couple of bullpen arms? You throw in,
You're talking about an everyday shortstop, right? This is what,
well, what
Jose Iglesias is.
Well, what do they do for Infante next year? Like, what does Detroit do? Do they try and slot Iglesias in there?
Well, if you think he's going to play second base for the Blue Jays, why wouldn't the Tigers think he would play second base for them?
Well, because he's only basically had 1 year in the pros, and it's been a good year. But he's primarily in Boston, I think, only played shortstop and
third base. You want to use him at second base for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, give him an off-season to work at
right,
second
so
base.
why wouldn't the Tigers just stick him in to replace Omar Infante at second base?
Well, maybe they think they have kind of a good team how it is, and they bring Infante back. I don't know. I just think that...
I think you're seeing this only through a Blue Jay perspective, Mark.
Obviously.
And that's okay.
Of course.
You're allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, you're allowed, but that's not, you know, that's not the way it's not the way it works. There aren't teams lining up to make trades to make the Blue Jays better.
So you don't think that's a possibility that they would command some bullpen arms and give up him?
No.
Detroit would.
No.
Okay.
I don't think you can get an everyday player for relief pitching unless that everyday player has some issues. Whether it's that he's fallen out of favor or that he's making too much money or something
okay,
like that. And
throw in some minor league players like, I don't know, Goins or Pilar or something. I mean, this is all just hearsay, of course, but I think...
Well, it's actually not hearsay, it's just conjecture, but that's okay. But
all
this,
right.
You know, you have to give up quality to get quality, and you have to give up relatively equal amounts of quality to get quality, and If I'm Dave Dombrowski, I'm saying yeah, okay, and
yeah, well, yeah,
then maybe
I mean,
we'll talk. There's no need for.
I was just gonna say there's a lot of pieces we can give up. I mean, we have
they have to be pieces that the Tigers are interested in, and the Tigers think make them better, and make them worth giving up a guy who they just gave up a really really good young outfielder for.
So do you think the Blue Jays can be in contention for someone like Infante?
Yeah, why not? He's a free agent. Sure, why not? I mean, I might rather have Ryan Goins do his job for about a tenth of the money less, but sure, they can be in there pitching for Infante. I appreciate the call. We got to get going. It's Labor Day. Blue Jays did some work, and they beat the Arizona Diamondbacks. It is the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Chase Field in Arizona, the Blue Jays 4-1 winners over the Diamondbacks. Elsewhere today, the Oakland A's beat the Rangers 4-2 to move into a tie for first in the AL West, and the Pirates are back in first in the NL Central. They beat the Brewers 5-2 while the Cardinals were losing 7-2 to St. Louis. Tomorrow night, it's Todd Redmond for the Blue Jays, Wade Miley for the Diamondbacks. We're on at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for a 9:40 first pitch. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from the desert.